Lord, we commit this time of study into your hands. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time in your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst. I pray, Lord, that we would be Christians, that we would be a church that allows you to move. Challenge all of us, Lord, to become more dependent upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you read the book of Acts, there is just something about the early church that I think is missing from many modern-day churches in America. The early church was so effective, wasn't it? There was just so much power. And they didn't have nearly the resources that churches today have. I mean, the early church didn't have massive, fully functional buildings like churches in America do today, most churches. The early church didn't have Christian bookstores that they could go into. The early church didn't have all these programs and curriculum that they used to teach every age group and every group in society. The early church didn't have radio programs, television programs, print media, websites. And yet they were absolutely powerful. Effective, arguably so, more effective than the modern church today. And you just got to ask the question, why? What was it that they had? And I think the answer is simple. They depended upon the Holy Spirit. They really, really depended upon the Holy Spirit. The early church was a Spirit-led church and a Spirit-empowered church. And the testimony of Scripture is clear. They changed their world. They were a church that was actually feared by others in the community. I mean, there were people in their society that were actually afraid of the local church because of the power of God that they saw happening there. I wonder how many pagans in today's society are afraid of local churches. I wonder how many even take them seriously. They were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles. I think we could really call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, who allowed the Holy Spirit to move. And as a church, we need to become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit indwells God's people. The Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit's desire is to empower us to be witnesses. The Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit has given God's people spiritual gifts and does want to manifest himself in supernatural ways in and through the church. And you cannot deny that if you just look at the list of the spiritual gifts available to Christians. They are supernatural. They are powerful. They are miraculous. Tonight, we continue our study in the gifts. And as I've mentioned at almost every study, my prayer is that we would all find our gifts. But even beyond that, my prayer is that we would become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to look at three supernatural gifts. We're going to look at the gift of faith, the gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start back up there at verse 7. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. We studied those last time.
To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. I want to look at those three gifts tonight because I believe that they operate together. I believe that they're related. And so I want to look at each of them and see how they're related. Let's start with the gift of faith. Most of us in this room know what faith means. Faith means to trust, right? To believe in. To have an absolute confidence in God. To have a firm conviction, a firm persuasion. It simply means to have trust or belief in God. And as I read the New Testament, I believe that there are different kinds of faith, or at least different facets of faith, that every single Christian should have, or at least be growing in. Bible scholars speak of what they call saving faith. Faith for salvation. Every single true born-again Christian has saving faith. If you don't have saving faith, then you're not a Christian. Saving faith is where someone has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. It's for the person who has embraced the gospel, who has admitted that they are a sinner before God, who has recognized that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again the third day. And this person has put his or her faith in Christ, that saving faith. All Christians have saving faith. Then there's another type of faith that I guess we could call promise faith. And this is when we put our faith in the promises of God. This is where we have acknowledged that God is a faithful God and He's made promises that are contained in the Word of God, and we believe He'll keep His promises, right? We have faith and trust in the promises of God. That is the type of faith that makes us as Christians committed to the written Word of God, to studying it, to finding the promises of God, to embracing them and rejoicing in them. Promise faith. Every Christian should have that type of faith. And by the way, that's a faith that needs to be developed and has to grow. We have to grow in our faith in what God says and in our ability to trust. And that will happen. Christians can grow. I remember when I was a younger Christian how problems in life would hit me and I would freak out. Where it's just problems from all over the place would get me and it would just really frazzle me. But now that I've been walking with the Lord longer, and by the way, your faith increases as you find problems in life and trials and tribulations and persecutions. Now as I've been walking with the Lord longer, and found Him to be faithful even in the midst of the hard times, I don't get as frazzled anymore by problems. My faith has grown. That's a faith that's available to all of us. Then there's another faith that I'll call faith for the unseen. Did you know that we as Christians are to believe in things that we can't see and put our trust in them? And that fills us with an assurance and a hope. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a definition for faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as Christians, we're to have a faith in the things that we can't see, and we know them to be true, and we have hope from that. For instance, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, though we can't see Him. Or we believe in the reality of heaven, though none of us have been there yet. Anybody? We believe in the resurrection, though none of us have been raised. All that type of faith is for every single Christian, and we should be growing in that type of faith.
So what's the gift of faith? The gift of faith is singled out here. It's a part of the spiritual gifts. Obviously, the gift of faith has to be a faith that's different from the general faith that all Christians have or should be growing in. It's a higher faith. It's the supernatural ability to trust in God in an extraordinary way. It's an unusual faith. It's a wonder-working faith. It's a mountain-moving faith. I think Jesus was speaking of that faith when he told his disciples, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would do so. Nothing would be impossible. This is, without a doubt, a gift where the Holy Spirit gives a believer an extraordinary amount of faith. I believe that this is where the Holy Spirit gives a believer special faith at a special time for a special reason in a special circumstance or situation. There are times in life when the Holy Spirit will give a believer that supernatural faith. That's the only way I can really understand this gift. Let me ask you, most of us have been Christians for many years in this room. I recognize many of you. Can you remember a time, and I think all of us can remember perhaps a time in our Christian life, maybe a time or two or three or four or five times, where we just knew that God was going to do something. Ever had that happen to you? You just knew that God was going to do something. There was no question in your mind about it. There was no doubt. The Holy Spirit told you this is going to happen, and you're filled with faith. You're rejoicing. You pray confidently. And then it in fact happens. That's the gift of faith, I believe. I've had that happen to me at times in my Christian life. There have been times where I just knew that God wanted to heal a certain person. Someone who came up wanted to be healed. And there's been times where I just knew God wants to heal that person. The Holy Spirit gave that to me. I sense that. And so I pray for it, knowing and rejoicing there's an extra amount of confidence there, and that person is in fact healed. That's the gift of faith. I remember many years ago now, it was when I was leading worship. How many of you were with us when I was still leading worship? Anybody? A few of you? But I remember a couple that used to go to our church. They drove all the way from the Northeast. We were having a worship practice on Thursday night. And one of the brothers, he was having kidney stones. Those are not fun. And his wife just suggested to him, look, the worship team's practicing at church. Let's drive all the way over to the Northeast, you know, to this side of town. Let's go to the worship team and we'll just see if Terry and some of the other folks are there and they'll pray for us. And I remember that couple coming in and we stopped practice. We all got around that couple. And I know the Holy Spirit just said there's going to be a healing. We prayed for that couple and that person was healed. That's the only way I can explain it. As Christians, you've perhaps been around other Christians where they just know that God is going to do something. They know that God is going to move in a mighty way. They have faith. They're encouraging. Aren't those people a blast to be around? They rally the troops and they say, God is going to do this. That is the gift of faith in operation. And I believe that that gift can come into the life of a Christian at any time
for any reason, for any circumstance. And we might get it more often if we were more dependent upon Him for it. I also believe that there are those in the body of Christ who just seem to operate in the gift of faith more consistently than others. These are those people who just, they never see an obstacle. Have you ever met them? There's no obstacle. God is going to do these great works, and they live and operate and move by faith on a higher level than most Christians. That's a gifted Christian who's been gifted by faith. Gifted with faith by the Holy Spirit, I should say. You ever heard of George Mueller in history? The guy that worked with all the orphans? If you read his autobiography, or not autobiography, his biography, and many books have been written about his life, do you realize that George Mueller cared for 10,000 orphans over a 60-year period of time, and he never asked anybody for anything? He never let any need at all be known. The only person who he let know of his need was God through prayer. I would say that's the gift of faith, wouldn't you? And the stories of how God worked in and through his life to take care of those orphans. It's beautiful. That's the gift of faith. Let's look at the next one. To another, faith by the same Spirit, verse 9. To another, gifts of healings. Let's talk about healing now. And again, most of us in this room know what healing is, right? Divine healing. Where God touches a person's body and they are healed of sicknesses, handicaps, ailments, blindness, all of that. The healing of the physical body. I do want you to know that I do believe that God can still heal. Do you? Our God is a God of healing. You see Him healing in the Old Testament. You see Him healing in the New Testament. There's been numerous testimonies throughout church age that God does heal. And I do believe that God the Holy Spirit wants to give gifts of healings to His church. That He'll still heal today through His people today. And before we talk more about the subject, let me make sure you understand two things when it comes to healing. God heals, not us. You and I can't heal anybody, right? Who heals? God does. Now, God may use you as a vessel as you pray for someone else and they're healed. But the vessel didn't do the healing. God did the healing. If I lay my hands on someone who's sick and pray that that person's healed and that person is healed, did Terry do the healing? No, God did the healing. It's sort of like when you turn on a light switch. Can you say that you made light? You turn on a light switch. Ooh, I made light. No, what did you do? You provided a conduit for electricity. So if God ever uses you to heal somebody, make sure that you give glory to God. Amen. Don't start with these trips like, wow, that was anointed prayer. One of my best prayers ever. No, don't play those games. God heals and give Him glory. The second thing that needs to be said is that when God does heal somebody, it's a genuine healing. I mean, the person is really healed. It's obvious healing. And I say that to you tonight to sort of protect the reputation of God. Because there are some Christians who are taught when they're sick to pray for a healing and they have to believe it and claim it and pretend like they're already healed, even though they might not have been healed. I don't know if you've ever met that type of a person. It's a little silly. I have met a Christian who prayed broken leg, prayed that God would heal his broken leg. And there he is in a cast, limping around, saying, God healed me. I claim it. God has healed me. I'm telling everybody God has healed me. I want to tell that person, don't say that. Don't blame that work on God. People aren't going to be impressed. I'm healed. And there you are in your cast. Come on. Listen, when God heals, he heals completely and wholly.
Now, I want you to notice some things about the gifts of healings, and that's what I want you to notice first. Notice that it's plural. Most of the gifts are in the singular, like to another faith by the same Spirit. But this one, it says to another gifts, plural, of healings by the same Spirit. That tells me that there's a wide variety in healing. And there's a wide variety in gifts of healings. And that there's different ways that you can look at healings. There are a number of people that believe the healing itself is the gift from God. So if you're sick and you ask for a healing and God heals you, you just received a gift of healing. That's an interesting way to look at it. And I can see that. But then there are others that teach that someone gets a gift of healing when they're able to pray for someone and see another person healed. The gift of healing has operated through that person. I can see that as well. I have met Christians who seem to have God use them in mighty ways in a healing type ministry. I've seen that. There's wide variety. You can't really can this gift. You can't formalize it. It says healings. There's many types of healings. How many kinds of healings are available? How many problems can the human body have? Right? God can heal any sickness, right? God can heal any type of ailment. There are many different types of healings for all the various different types of ailments and sicknesses that people can get. God can heal anything. There are different methods when someone's using the gift of healing. Without a doubt. I think Jesus proved that to us beyond a shadow of a doubt in the New Testament Gospels. You know how Jesus healed many different diseases in his life, many different sicknesses, all sorts of things. And he used wide varieties. He used different methods, didn't he? He would even use different methods when healing the same illness. I mean, at one time he told a blind man, your sight's restored, and it just happened, right? In another case, there was a blind man, and Jesus had a unique method there. He spit on the ground, made clay, rubbed mud in that person's eye. Here's mud in your eye. Sent him to the pool of Siloam. He washed in the pool of Siloam, and then he restored sight. Leprosy. Jesus at one point told 10 lepers, you're healed. Just spoke the word. Go show yourself to the priest. In another time, Jesus touched a leper, and that leprosy was removed. So listen, there are different methods. There is diversity. Beware of any quote-unquote faith healer who gives you a three-step process for healing stuff. If you run into somebody who's blind, take these three steps and it works every time. Or if you run into somebody who has this type of a sickness, take these three steps. You cannot put a pattern to it. It is in the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit.
I also believe that the gifts of healings are distributed throughout the body of Christ. God uses many different people in different ways. I do not believe that there's any member of the body of Christ who is given the power to heal indiscriminately. Anybody that they want to heal. Paul healed people, and not even he could heal some of his friends. You see in the scripture. He told his buddy Timothy, take some wine for your stomach. I know you're not feeling well. He told a friend named Epaphroditus, or he said that a friend of his named Epaphroditus in one of his letters almost died because he was so sick. He also told another person in another letter that he left a friend by the name of Trophimus back somewhere else because he was sick. There were people in Paul's life that didn't get healed. And by the way, Paul himself was sick. He had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to remove it 3 times. So I don't believe that anybody can heal indiscriminately. I believe it's in the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of healing can go through anybody, and we can be recipients of it at any time. And there are different methods. I've seen people heal just a person crying out to God for their own healing. I've seen people healed when we pray from the pulpit or at a Bible study group. There is a method that we should use most often here in the church. James chapter 5 said, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That is certainly a practice that the elders of this church should do. And if you're sick, it would certainly be biblical for you to call the elders. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll trust what the scripture said, and we'll pray a prayer of faith and see if the Lord might heal you. But even with that, it wouldn't be just limited to that. God can do it in many different ways. Why don't we see much divine healing in the church anymore? Well, the answer to that question is we do. Maybe in spots where you've never been, though. I think I mentioned a few Bible studies ago in the spiritual gift. If you really want to see healings and miracles take place, then be a part of an evangelism team that reaches out to an unreached people group. Many healings and miracles seem to take place when brand new people are being reached for the first time. Read the testimonies of what's happened to the Gospel of Asia missionaries as they're out there. And I think Brian, who was even here a few Sundays ago, how many were here for that? He tells of stories where, man, the missionaries, they go to a brand new village and nobody knows the Lord. Nobody's even heard of Jesus. And the way they get the attention of the village is somebody gets healed. And that's exactly what you see happening in the book of Acts. They'll go to different places. A crippled man will get healed. A blind man will get healed. The crowd will go nuts. And then Peter or Paul or Barnabas will explain that that was the power of God at work. So, yes, I do believe that we see healings in the church, especially in evangelistic settings. But why aren't there more divine healings here? Why not in the local church? Do you think we should see more of them? Does the Holy Spirit want to heal? When Jesus was in a town, I'm going blank on, I think it was Nazareth when he was back at his hometown. He wasn't able to do many miracles there. And the scripture says that the reason he wasn't able to do many miracles there was no faith there. You remember that? Perhaps there's too little faith in the church in America. Perhaps there's too much skepticism. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can heal? Do you? Do you pray for people who need healing like you believe that the Holy Spirit can heal?
Perhaps another reason we don't see it too often in America is because God needs humble people to give that gift to. If a person is used by the Lord in a healing type of ministry, folks, can you imagine having that? And I mean, look what some of the faith healers do today. People that claim to have the gift of healing. They'll run around from arena to arena across America and have these huge healing crusades. And my question has always been, why don't those guys go from city to city, from hospital to hospital? Go to the wards. Go to the terminally ill.
Oh, we need to go to the arenas where we can pass a plate. Amen. We need to get a love offering. What if there were some Christians who really became filled with faith and humbleness? Gifts of healing. I think we should see more. I think as a church we need to become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit.
Not that we think that it could work all the time and that we've always got to see healings to get a thrill. But we should pray for the sick in faith. Amen? Believing that God can do it and being humble. And we'll see more people healed. But we also do that realizing that God is in sovereign control. He heals who He wants to. When He wants to. The gifts of healings. Let's do the last one. The working of miracles. Some He gives faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. Literally, the operation of powers. The ability to do something supernatural. And again, this is singled out as a spiritual gift, and it's even singled out apart from healing. Now, I believe that healings are miracles, don't you? I think those are miracles of God. This must be speaking of another type of miracle where God just does something that blows your mind. And again, just what I said for healings, I'll say for miracles. God does the miracles, not us. If God does a miracle through a prayer of yours, who do you give glory to? You give glory to God. Moses, sometimes we talk about Moses parting the Red Sea. Did Moses part the Red Sea? He held his staff over the Red Sea. Who parted it? God. And again, I'll say this with miracles as well. When God does a miracle, it's a real miracle. It's something that is way beyond the ordinary. A miracle is something that is outside the natural order. It's seeing God do something outside the natural order. Sometimes we talk about things like the miracle of birth. Have you ever heard that? The miracle of birth. Or if you look at a sunset or a sunrise, somebody goes, oh, that's a miracle. Well, it is beautiful. It is awesome. But it's not really a miracle technically. It's a part of the natural order that God created. But when somebody walks on water, that's a miracle.
When somebody turns water into wine, that is a miracle.
And I believe that God is a miracle-working God. Amen? He can still do miracles. He's done miracles in the Old Testament. He does miracles in the New Testament. And he'll do miracles today. And by the way, from God's perspective, miracles aren't a big deal. You and I, we can see a miracle and we'll go, wow, look at that. But think about it. From God's perspective, that's easy. Isn't it? He created the natural order. If he wants to adjust something for a moment, no big deal for him, right? God can do miracles, and I'm so glad we serve a God who can do miracles, because I've needed a few in my life, haven't you? And again, it's plural there, the working of miracles. There's variety, there's diversity. There's many different kinds of miracles that God can do. What Jesus did, walking on the water, turning water into wine. How about multiplying the loaves and the fish? How about the miracle of paying taxes by going fishing and finding a coin in the fish? That's a great miracle when God provides money. We need somebody to go fishing at our church to help us with the building fund. Have God produce that type of a miracle. That's a miracle, though, isn't it? You fishermen, go out there and find some fish with coins in them. I think casting out demons is a miracle. Of course, raising from the dead, that's a miracle. That's got to be at least in the top five, wouldn't you think? Many different types of miracles. Well, God will come through for you in a supernatural way, however he does it. God gives gifts of miracles by the Holy Spirit in the midst of his people. How about spiritual miracles? You know what the greatest miracle is? Salvation. Conversion. When a sinner becomes born again by the Holy Spirit and is turned into a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, changed forever, let me tell you, that's a miracle. And without a doubt, we can see God doing those miracles all the time. In fact, I think that's what Jesus meant when he told the disciples. Remember, he told the disciples, I'm going to leave. I'm going to send a helper. And greater works are you going to do than I did. You ever thought about that statement? Jesus said, Christians in the church are going to do greater works than he did. Whoa. Jesus did some pretty cool things, huh? Some great things. Raising people from the dead. Healing sickness. Now, you know what? Those types of miracles can happen in the church. But I think when Jesus said you'll be doing greater miracles, he was speaking of all the conversions that would take place through the church. And all these Christians spreading out over planet Earth. Sharing the good news with people and watching people's lives change forever. It's the greatest miracle, isn't it? Conversion. Different types of miracles. Different methods. Different people that God will use. Again, I would say that I don't believe that God gives any Christian the power to do miracles indiscriminately. Imagine if you met a person like that. But I do believe that God will gift his people with miracles and the ability to pray for miracles and to see miracles take place. And again, I would say to you, you will see a lot more miracles again in an evangelistic outreach. In another portion of the world, again, where the gospel's first being preached, just like healing, you'll see the same sorts of activities. Why don't we see more miracles here in America? Could it once again be because we have little faith in America? Oh, we depend on our programs, our print media, our fancy dancy buildings, or whatever. Could God find somebody, anybody humble enough to do miracles through consistently? But again, I ask you, what if somebody had faith and what if somebody was humble? And what if our faith increased at this fellowship? And our humility increased at this fellowship? And we began to depend upon the Holy Spirit for real. In our lives, for our families, for our friends, in this community, in the church. God can do those miracles. I told you these three work together. I just want to show you some quick examples and then we'll close. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3. I think you have just a great example of the operation of the gift of faith and healing working in the life of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Now watch this. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Can you just see this guy? Obviously, the gift of healing was at work. Do you think the gift of faith was also at work? You know, if you say, "Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ," or "rise up and walk," that takes some faith. But if you reach down like Peter did, take him by the hand and lift him up, come on, let's go. That's real faith. That's real gutsy, don't you think? And that's exactly what he did. I would say that at that moment, for a special reason, at a special circumstance, God the Holy Spirit allowed Peter and John to know that that person was going to be healed, prayed for their healing, prayed for his healing, picked him up. That's the gift of faith and the gift of healing at work together. And they're often related in that way. And again, God will use that as an opening for them to share a message by which many get saved. Let's look at another example. Go to Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas are on a Christian missionary journey. They're on a missions trip. They're traveling around. And remember, they're going to villages, as I said earlier, where people have never heard of Jesus. And look what happens to them in Lystra, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking.
Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet," and he leaped and walked. There's the gift of healing, and there's the gift of faith. Who has the gift of faith there? That man who was crippled, he had faith. And I would also say that I think Paul had faith too, to recognize it. Supernatural gift of faith and the supernatural gift of healing taking place right there. Now I want to show you something else here. Look what happens next. Now when the people, verse 11, saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. What are they going to do? They're going to worship Paul and Barnabas as Zeus and Hermes. They're going to give sacrifices to them. Paul and Barnabas don't recognize their language. They're not sure what's going on. They don't know. Verse 14, but when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God." You got a whole village about to do worship, bow before you. What did Paul and Barnabas do? Don't do that. Give glory to God. You need the living God. He's the one who did this. Gift of faith. Gift of healing. Men who were dependent upon the Holy Spirit and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in that situation. It's beautiful. One last example, chapter to the left, Acts 13. Paul is in Salamis this time. Verse 5, when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. I think that's a miracle. Don't you? I guess it's almost like an inverse healing, right? But miraculous, nevertheless. In all those passages, you see that there's a recognition of something. Did you notice that? They intently look at someone. There's a fixing of your attention on someone. That's, I think, faith. That is when the Holy Spirit is communicating in those circumstances. That's when that person knows, yeah, this person's going to be healed. And then there's the operation of healing or the working of a miracle. Do you really believe this stuff, Christian? You just read it. You just read the Word of God. Do we believe the Word of God?
Is this possible? Yes. I want to challenge us tonight as a body of believers. And the challenge goes out to myself as well. May we become more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. May we become a church that is truly Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. That we would see God move. How many of you want to see God move in the Holy Spirit? And why do we want to be those people that would stop that or hinder that in any way by lack of faith or skepticism or pride or sin in the camp? Let's go for it, shall we? I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes. And Martine, I want you to stand ready. Since we talked about healing tonight, I just want to give anybody an opportunity. If there might be somebody here tonight who has a problem and they'd like to be prayed for, we'll ask the Lord to heal you. While heads are bowed, eyes closed, if there would be anyone here tonight who just wants to be prayed for, I would ask you to just stand up right where you are. This is very good. This is good. Martin, I'd like you to come pray for their healing.
Lord, as we stand before you, we stand before you transparent, Lord. Nothing hidden. Our hearts are bare, Father, and clean before you. And as we stand up in faith for healing, Lord, all of us recognize who you are, Lord. In this place right now. You're the God who knows everyone, Lord, even before they were in the womb of their mother, Lord. And you're the God who uniquely, Father, sculpted them together, Lord. And we come before you in awe, Lord. Because like Pastor Terry was saying, it is you who heals, Lord, not men. And right now our prayers go out to you, Father, and we pray that this prayer will be sweet incense, Father, to you. And that this prayer will be a sweet-smelling fragrance upon your throne, Lord. And that you cry, Father, that we cry out to you, Lord, and you bow your ear to this prayer. Father, greater is he that is in us, Father, than he that is in the world. And we come before you, Lord, Father, bare and open so that we, Father, can trust you, Lord, and have faith to believe in you for great and mighty things. Father, we become as a centurion soldier, Father. All you have to do is say it, and we believe it, and we receive it, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above all other names, Father, I pray your healing power move in this sanctuary, Lord. Start touching one heart at a time, Lord. Start healing one body at a time. Father, by the miracle-working power, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, we cry out to you for healing, Lord. And we believe your word. It is written, Lord. And Father, we come before you, praising you and thanking you. Father, do deliverances right now if anybody needs to be delivered from anything, Lord. Father, lift up weights, Father, or from burdened spirits, Father. I sense there's spirits here, Lord, that have people burdened in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray for healing for these people. Father, in the name that is above all names, take away all the hurt, all the pain right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. The name that is above all names. Father, I praise you. I thank you. I worship you, Lord. And together we come before you, Lord, knowing that you are a miracle-working God, Lord. And in this place you are holy, Lord. Father, touch a heart right now that's hurting, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, soothe it, heal it, deliver it, Lord. Father, touch the sicknesses right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with each and every life. Father, we believe in you. We reach out to these people just as Paul did, Lord. Father, and we believe, Lord, right now you're moving, and we thank you. We praise you. Healing power, come and heal, Lord. Oh, Father, great are you in this place, Lord. Start touching, Father, each and every life, and we thank you already, and we receive the healing that comes from your mighty hand. Father, worthy are you, Father, of all honor, all praise, all glory, all worship. Lamb of God, we give you thanks. Father, now I pray in faith each one, Father, that has stood up will receive their healing. Claim it by the name that is above all other names. And Father, we present this, Father's time together upon your throne of grace, Lord. And we leave everything, Father, bare right now, and we give you thanks. Lord, give people rest now. Give people peace, Lord. And Father, we give you thanks. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God bless you. May God touch you. As we close, we're getting ready to. I just want to mention, if there would be anyone here tonight who's never experienced the greatest miracle that a person can experience, if you've never had saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never had your soul converted, you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never become a brand new creation in Christ, you've never become born again, then I want to lead you in a prayer. You just ask Christ to be your Savior right now. Again, bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I believe that there's people here tonight that need to give their hearts to the Savior. Just open up your heart. Say this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I'm so grateful that you came and died on the cross for my sins. I embrace you. I receive you as my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash them away. Do the miracle of rebirth right now in my heart. And change me forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, I'd like you to come.